under the strategic, collaborative strategic sourcing, there are certain things that you need to really consider to be successful and produce a better results. Here, two organizations and all relevant functions responsible for rational decision making needs to come together and collaborate. So not only two organizations, all those who need to come together to produce that effective result should collaborate together. More than individual interest, customers or market interest needs to be closely looked upon and given importance. So Maruti cannot have his interest. Rather, it's an automotive market or the brand Alto market or what, you know, that needs to be really looked at while you get onto or embark on a integrated collaborative relationship, so that each one is more encouraged to say what is in the good interest of everyone rather than looking at only merely his interest. It will ensure just in time, it will ensure to lower your total cost, streamline process by reducing wastage, cutting out unwarranted process, less of overhead. So many times when processes and all are removed, entire workforce or entire one probable overheads can be removed, chucked out. It is not workforce necessarily, maybe that entire machining or entire part processing etc. may not be required. So all those things will lead to better responsiveness of your, you know, supply chain people to your need, and you are able to understand your consumer's changing need much faster. So you are able to feed this to your supply chain. Not only that, you work on finding a solution to that need, but maybe possibility that your vendor will come with you, your supply chain partner will come out with a better solution, so that overall your response time to changing market condition will improve much better if you resort to integrated collaborative supply chain management rather than strategic alliance only. You get into taking a strategic alliance to the next level, which is integrated supplier collaborative management, you know. So that's the crux of it. Another best practice is focus on total cost of ownership and not price. Very, very important. Merely in the organization which is working on principal and vendor relationship, there is always an approach to low cost. They'll say, okay, we have minimum 3 quotes to come in. Whoever is lower will get the order. You need to move away from that, where a total cost of ownership needs to come in. Total cost of ownership means not only your part cost, but what efforts go behind sourcing them, what efforts go in getting the parts in-house, what efforts you require to store them, then your inventory management costs, etc., then your utilization costs and all. If you really take this entire initiative to look at the entire cycle of this part ordering to part consumption, you are able to understand the total cost that is involved. Now, once with this, equipped with this total cost, you can work with your strategic alliance partner to see that how this total cost can come down. Why Maruti has gone to Sona Steering, assuring them that complete order will be on to them, we will not resort to 3 quotations and all, is that Maruti has realized the importance of said total cost. Now they work with Sona Steering to see that how overall total cost can continue to come down. Sharing of information, timely availability, so timely production, timely dispatch, timely inventory management, all this thing not only helps Sona also Steering, but also helps Maruti. So they have because taken that total cost, otherwise Maruti will have to every time call for 3 quotes, negotiation cycle, then get the vendor who is different, who is not understanding Maruti's processes, so he may create a bottleneck, etc. So you might have got at a lower cost from him, but other bottlenecks that he creates will increase your total cost. So instead, why not work with limited number of vendors or one vendor and try and see that overall how your total cost can come down. So instead of lower cost, look at the cost of handling, that is the total cost of handling. Total cost of handling starts from right from your creation of your requisition to getting the supply in. So study complete handling process, that is entire procurement cycle needs to be studied by you. Determine avenues where efforts are needed. When you do that, you will come to know that these are the bottleneck points. If we really invest in removing them or reducing them, your total cost of handling can go down. So work that out with your strategic sourcing partner or your strategic alliances partner. This needs to also overcome the cost reduction mindset, as both have different objectives. The cost reduction mindset, if you have, then you will look at things differently, and total cost reduction mindset, if you have, you will look at differently. So with your supply chain partners, with your strategic alliance partner, is the total cost concept has to come upfront rather than cost reduction also. It is not cost reduction. The moment you talk cost reduction, Sona Steering will look at differently, versus if you talk at total cost reduction, both will have to look at things differently. So that's a very critical, away from lower cost to cost reduction, move to a total cost of handling, so that each one will know how they can contribute to see that overall total cost comes down. Put contract under the supply chain function. Earlier also we have discussed that, where I told you that then the logistics or the transportation department should come under supply chain. Here what we are saying is, deliverables matter. You have entered into a strategic alliance, you have entered into a contract, but what happens in many company, the contract remains with admin or vendor department, and supply chain is to deal with the day-to-day output. Supply chain not equipped with what is agreed upon will not know the deliverables of their supplier, your vendors. As a result, there is a laxity, there is a possibility of, you know, unproductive issues coming in, there is a possibility of bottlenecks coming in, etc. So why not consider bringing the contract function or a chain, contract this thing under the supply chain itself? How will it benefit? To draft better processes, create relationship, finally culminating into a contract is one thing, and managing the contract is other. That's the reason. You can work your best of the contract, best of the process. If it is not known to supply chain management, it will not really yield to a productive gain. This is because purchase function and SCMs are both different. So having a contract under purchase function without supply chain knowing fully about it will not enable supply chain to extract best out of your vendor. Therefore, as they say, that contract management also should come under supply chain. Result, because they exactly know what are the betterments that has been carried out. They exactly know what are the deliverables. They exactly know how that needs to be delivered. And therefore, they are able to manage your vendor. They are able to manage the productivity of your supply chain stakeholders very well. Therefore, as they say, the best practice is to have the contract under the supply chain function. Optimize company-owned inventory. Holding cost of inventory has to cost at times phenomenally. If you are in a vendor and principal relationship, or if there is an issue of transparency and the trust between supply chain partners or strategic alliance partner, each one will try to create a scenario where he doesn't want to hold more. However, because of lack of trust, etc., Maruti will feel ke bhai sona se jyada le lena acha hai, so he will order, and that will lead to unwarranted holding costs, and it really multiplies many times. In a multi-brand, multi-product scenario, you can look at it. Other thing could be poor planning and poor forecasting will lead to this. Maruti is not able to forecast what will be the market in the festival season. Therefore, Maruti will want to be safeguard their interest. As a result, they will want Sona to produce also for Alto, produce also for 800, produce also for other brand. As a result, each one, for each brand, they will try to have minimum order. This thing, minimum order may be not actually required by Maruti. As a result, Maruti has led to holding unwarrantedly more cost or more inventory. Or it might be in their system understanding that you produce but supply us only 2 days before, then it is leading to an unwarranted holding at a Sona Steering. So Sona Steering will question Maruti. So all this thing is how best you can optimize your own inventory movement. That is possible if you really allow strategic alliance to go beyond and create a relationship where poor planning and poor forecasting issues are also undertaken. It may be better that parent associates has manipulated things in their way. So I told you that it may be that Maruti will manipulate supplier and may manipulate the ordering in such a way that it takes his interest, creates unwarranted inventory at a Sona. Sona starts losing the cost of inventory. So instead, thus continuous watch on inventory and non-moving inventory if you really bring a transparent system where focus is to overall see that inventory overall being held at Sona or held at Maruti is at minimal or just in time basis, etc. So as a result, many times it allows you to also look at non-moving inventory. So you realize that this is not moving. So you can take a timely decisions instead of allowing it to age and, you know, the scrap value also going down. Maybe you can take a timely action to see how this inventory can be utilized. This continuous watch on inventory and all will help you if you take a collective approach and a collaborative approach to supply chain management, then a relationship based this thing will come in. Many during strategic alliances gets into demand planning with maximum inventory deviation being worked out. So while you enter into your strategic alliances, what is required is various minimum maximum inventory planning. So as I told you earlier, example, Alto 500 order aagya, that doesn't mean that the clutch guy whose two parts are going will produce 1000. No, he knows through an access system that Maruti already has this much part and this is their maximum, you know, inventory requirement. So this guy is able to therefore work out his best production level, and therefore when he supplies, Maruti is able to maintain his minimum maximum level, which is not considered as excessive inventory, and that will help them to bring down their overall inventory management cost down. So this is how the integrated collaborative approach under strategic alliances will help each one to create that level of minimum maximum inventory, which is overall a lower inventory cost to the each partner, and therefore it will create a very sound strategic alliances, very strong relationship between the two. Establish appropriate level of control and minimize risk. Yes, because you have decided to work collaboratively, you have decided to collaborate your entire backend, etc., you are able to work out a better level of performance metrics that each one is responsible for. Not only that, you are able to create a monitoring mechanism. Maruti can, sitting at his central place, can monitor daily how much Sona is producing, whether Sona is producing above or producing lower than what is required, etc. So Maruti can get into controlling the danger by creating a communication, etc. So that way each one is able to, and monitoring. The monitoring will help each one to minimize their risk. Sona is also counter, see that whether Alto that has been ordered is been sold or not by Maruti. Sona will know that how many inventory are lying at Maruti end itself, how many inventory are at dealer's level. So Maruti ordering this 500 for what? If he finds that these goods are not being sold, so Sona can also create a communication, create a discussion. So each party is able to create a proper control, proper monitoring, and thereby minimize their risk. This is only possible under integrative collaboration, under even the aegis of strategic alliances, because relationship is considered as more important, and therefore you go beyond what is possible, and therefore you create a platform which will enable each one to not only minimize its risk by monitoring and monitoring each other's performance also. It is based on a criteria. Take green initiative and social responsibilities seriously as world moves around. Now, for example, today the carbon print is the most talked about social initiative globally. Carbon print is to reduce the carbon emission out of your product, and as a result, you can also take a green initiative well in time. You can, under your collaborative, you know, integrated collaborative initiative, you can devise your future footprint, how you can reduce your carbon footprint. So for that, you need to work out with clutch guy, you need to work out with Sona, you need to work out with your transporter, how they can use green fuel, etc. So all this thing will help you to contribute in the global and social initiatives more proactively. So this is a 10 best practice of, as we say, managing the supply chain. So being green, being, you know, socially conscious is also an important social responsibility of any organization. By being into integrated collaborative way of working through strategic alliances, you can become green, you can become socially conscious much faster, and therefore you can contribute to the global causes very quickly. Yeah, the another important aspect is that buyer-supplier relationship and service performance has a direct connect. Yeah, the influence of the relationship strategies between buyer-supplier on the performance depends on the benefit perceived by both parts in service industry especially. See, there are two angles when this happens. When both of them will first try to see what is my deliverables, is it benefiting me, and to do this, what is it that the other party has to provide you, do with you, etc. So, relationship, if it is made more sound and more clear, the second part will get less and less importance. You know, the guy will not every time ask, "Why, are this you were supposed to do, this you have not done, or this was expected, you didn't do, etc." He knows that this is going to happen, aaj nahi to kal hoga. He will try and focus on what are his deliverables. So therefore, and there is a benefit to him in his deliverables. So he will therefore focus more on improving his deliverables once he develops a trust in the other party who is supposed to provide him the basic information or basic support, etc. Otherwise, his focus will always be on what wrong you did and therefore why he failed. Instead, he will now start focusing on, these are my deliverables, I am orienting myself to deliver. Come what may, if information may come day or two here and there, etc., there is a genuine alignment, trust and confidence in each other. So let's work. And that's how he will start thinking. According to Berry and Parsuraman, the relationship requires trust, considering that the customers typically purchase a service before experimenting it. So what is said here is, between buyer and supplier, buyer will always try and see that he has purchased the service before even experimenting it. So there is a belief, there is a perception that he will build about what he is expecting it. Now if that doesn't happen, that doesn't gel well or that doesn't go well, he gets into a dissatisfaction mode. Strong relationships, supply agreements, etc., strategic alliances and all will bring is a clarity on that service deliverable part. It will be very clear, okay, this is what is going to happen, this is how it is going to happen, this is when it is going to happen, etc. So that being clearly worked out, expectation and actual will start matching. Expectation and actual will start matching soon. And once that happens, the trust and bonding will be lifelong. So that's what is a understanding between strategic alliances and a loose relationship kind of a thing. You go to say like Shetty's or say Rama Shrey, very popular South Indian joint in say Matunga. Every time you go, you need to experience it. Yana. And that is over a period has brought a strong bonding. Now same thing if instead of leaving it to expectation and reality to happen, can you create a scenario where reality will be as expected? So that is possible by putting up entire thing very clearly, what is going to be delivered, when, how, by what time, etc. If this starts happening daily, again and again, the supplier and buyer relationship will become more stronger. That is a very critical part of the supply chain management and service agreement or say strategic alliances, as we say. Performance and relationship. Naturally, performance and relationship has a strong connect. Relationship without performance cannot go a long way. You have come together, your strategic alliances, no doubt relationship is at the foundation, but the performance is a catalyst. What will sustain your relationship to go on and on is the performance ultimately. So business-oriented measures of performance traditionally are related to companies' internal activities or competitive environment. This has changed. Now earlier the measurement criteria were more intrinsic, rather more internal, and it was in line with the market and the competitive or the macro environment. Now what you have to create is a relationship-based, clear, interdependent parameters. Yeah. Parameters are one which is interdependent. Once you do this, I can do this. That's how it will come out. So that what you measure is not individual performance. What you measure is a collective performance. So that's why performance based on collective effort and outcome is more relevant. If overall that fails, then each one needs to know that he needs to relook at himself rather than blaming the others. Company's abilities are influenced not only by internal activities but by also partners' activity. So, the reason for collective performance parameter is your performance is dependent on the others' performance as well. So, your failure is probably either due to your failure itself or it may be a failure of the partner that led to a failure at your end, etc. So, creating a corrective onus of delivery is very critical in performance and relationship. Therefore, performance parameters are not centered around individual or an individual organization. They are centered around collective deliverables. And when that happens and when that is not achieved, each one needs to relook as to what did not go right at their end. And once you rebuild onto that, you will achieve your performance parameter. And collective achievement of performance parameters gives each party, each stakeholders, their respective revenue, profitability and way to go forward. So, performance is definitely a crux. Without being performing, you cannot really expect your relationship to go on and on. So, however, the focus is shifted from being individual-centric, bring a collective performance parameter, and once that is measured and that is achieved, fine. Not achieved, you look at your side of story and you do your self-assessment, self-improvement to create that deliverables. Competitive criteria in services. The competitive criteria are defined as a consistent set of priorities that a company chooses to compete in its market. Usual competitive criteria in the literatures are cost, quality, dependability and flexibility. I choose to decide I will compete on what criteria. That is a by choice. So, as an organization, as a supply chain partner or as a strategic alliances, overall you have to determine what is your competitive criteria. Whether you are going to compete on cost, whether you are going to compete on service differentiator, whether you are going to compete on quality, whether you are going to compete on dependability. DHL is competing on dependability. Bar, every time you give, they don't fail in terms of your delivery of important documents. While the Domino's is on a service, he is like a quality of his pizza. Also, there is an element of dependability, which is that half an hour. It's your call. You need to take a call. Strategic alliances will compete in competitive market on which parameter, whether it is a cost, whether it is a quality, dependability or a flexibility. That is a choice and there can be many more you can add to that. Competitive criteria differs based on industry under consideration. For industry to industry, this criteria may differ. So, you need to say, for example, airline, then it is the onboard departure. People consider that being very critical. How many flights have departed on time? Departed on time is considered as arrived in time. So, people want to know that what is your airline's onboard, departure time achievement. So, that's what you create your own benchmark in the industry and then try and see that you work towards achieving this again and again. Continue to understand competitive criteria and service. Fitzsimmons and Fitzsimmons complementarily propose other groups of performance criteria and services such as availability, convenience, dependability, customization, price, quality. These are the other list. What it takes us back, depending on what industry you are in, you can also create an additional criteria which is out of the box. It could be convenience. Whether Amazon or Flipkart offers convenience that has led to this jump in the popularity, whether it is a security that they offered, whether it's a speed that has led people to go mad about online purchase, whether it's a availability of multiple choices, what led. So you need to create your own differentiator. You can create that. That is what this list is suggesting. Parsuraman identified criteria such as tangible, reliability, responsiveness, assurance and empathy. So, can there be a tangible criteria or an intangible criteria, whether the reliability is your criteria, responsiveness, assurance, empathy. So, depending on again which industry or which service this thing vis-a-vis what are the deliverables expected by your consumers, to match it with that, you create your competitive criteria. This criteria that you select is going to be your benchmark, is going to be your catalyst differentiator, competitive edge creator. And that you need to strive to achieve and retain it over a long term, so that competition cannot come near to that at any point of time. And that edge will continue to get you your consumers. Requires you to understand your consumers also very better. It is indirectly said in this. To identify the influence of the supplier-buyer relationship in the service performance from a buyer perspective, research suggests aspects such as communication, perceived security, and dependability. Influence of the supplier-buyer relationship. So, a strategic alliance is nothing but a supplier-buyer relationship in a service environment. Buyer perspective required needs to be understood. So, from whom you are buying, there has to be a communication, there has to be a security, and there has to be a dependability. These three aspects are coming out very loud and clear. This helps you to have your relationship in such a way that you are able to continuously create your competitive criteria in the market. So communicate. Communicate, as we said, there has to be an open communication, transparency, trust, etc. Building communication. Security means like you don't misutilize your supply chain. You create a trust-based, you create a mutual aspiration-based, mutual benefit-based supply chain. So that's a, you feel secured. Sona steering must always feel secured that Maruti is really going to work with me and for me kind of thing. And that will bring the dependability. Both will start depending on each other, and that gives you the creative competitive edge in the market. Yeah. So that really lifts your competitive criteria in the service in the market and gives you a sound differentiator. So having understood so far various ways to manage a relationship in the service industry, now we come to a level where it's a right time to understand what is service level agreement. We have understood what is service, we have understood what is service organization, we have understood what is the relationship, we have understood what is the importance of relationship in the service organization, etc. So now we are ready to understand what is service level agreement. In short, it is also nicknamed or abbreviated as, it's an agreement between two or more parties wherein one is the customer and the others are service provider. So it's an agreement between two parties. So agreement, when you say, there has to be naturally two parties, but many times it can be more than two parties, where one is a customer, others are service providers. So that is the first fundamental of SLA. Commonly include segments are definition of service. And so when the service agreement is prepared, what is commonly covered? So what is the definition of service? What is the service that you expect from them? What are the performance measurement? How will that performance be measured? What are the problem management avenues? How the problem will be identified and measured? And reported and corrected on. What are the duties towards customer? What are your duties towards your customer? What you are supposed to mandatorily do? What you are supposed to optionally do? What are you are periodically supposed to do? Whether it is daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. All these things are listed out. That is the duty towards your customer. What are the warranty policy? And how will you support warranty? And a customer, when puts this product in the market, customer is when introduced that vehicle and clutch failure has happened. You as a clutch service, clutch provider, what is your warranty policy to Maruti? If you say, I will not accept, or I will only accept it is found to be manufacturing defect, etc. So Maruti will also have to get into finding out whether it's a manufacturing defect, etc. Or Maruti do this at the dealership level, then the response level will fast. If your warranty is that a manufacturing defect will be determined by us, then entire part has to come from dealership to Maruti to you, then you will determine, communicate it to dealership, tabhi tak customer kya karega? Can gaadi remain off-road? No. So it's all, you have to also work out a warranty mechanism, disaster recovery, etc. In case of fatality, in case of, something going out of performance criteria, etc., the ways and means how both will collaborate and do the recovery of things, etc. So especially today in the automobile, there are recall which is becoming, you know, this thing. So suddenly Toyota recalls vehicle because door lock is malfunctioning, or you know, Maruti has to recall some four leg vehicles because some clutch lever issue or whatever. So in such case, again, what is each partner's roles and responsibility? So that is listed out very clearly in what you call a service level agreement. We still have to understand. So service level agreement in short is between client and a service provider, where client raises the service requirement, client raises his expectations, client raises what he wants to on a provider, provider assures him with delivery. So delivery covers a lot of parameters, as I told you, the definition, the performance, the problem management, duties and warranty and other things. So that's what are the deliverables. So that's a service level agreement, which is in the center as it is shown out here. So expectation of client translated into delivery by provider, both understand them very clearly through service level agreement. So that service level agreement, just to give you a quick snapshot, not that you have to buy heart or anything. So this is like how it will look like, being a document or legal document. It has a background, then the operational requirement. So under that there is a service performance criteria. What are the functional criteria, frequency, time, all this thing gets, you know, tabulated, allowed variation. So like daily, scheduled run is daily, they have to produce, and plus or minus 2 hours here and there is allowed variation kind of thing. And these are multiple pages. I have only covered part of the page, a service level agreement. So that it covers the entire deliverable by a service provider to his customers, or between them, what is mutually agreed between them. So continue to understand our understanding of service level agreement. Service level agreements are by their nature an output based model. Here outputs are defined, here deliverables are defined in clear terminology. The result of the service as received by the customer is the subject of agreement. So what finally customer is going to get is defined in the SLA. The service provider can demonstrate their value by organizing themselves with ingenuity, capability and knowledge to deliver the service required. Having this determined, now it's an opportunity for a provider to put forth during all regular interaction, what did he do to ensure the service level agreements are met? Whether he is improving, whether he is doing better than the average, what additional things that he has done so that his current average has improved. All these possibilities are available with the service provider to demonstrate his integration with effort of the principal to create that competitive difference in the market in the mind of the consumers. So being an output based model, it gives an edge to a provider to show how his output has been improving. There are types of service level agreement that one need to understand. Prima facie, there are these 6 types, as they say. Customer based SLA. Now, here the SLAs are focused on customer, where a customer means the one who is ordering onto the supplier. His interest is taken more into account. So everything will be more rooted from what is expected from the provider. It's a customer based SLA. So one example which I gave you earlier, Walmart's this thing with PNG. So Walmart being a customer, there is a SLA which is a PNG, Walmart, customer based, service based. Between Sona Steering, or say between Flipkart and their logistics service provider, there will be a service based SLA. It will not be product based, it will not be customer based, but it will be service based. Once order is in their hand, within 4 hours they should deliver within 5 kilometers range. Maybe the service level agreement between Flipkart and their logistics service provider. So here service is defined, the time frame is defined, how to do is defined, etc. Then multi-level SLA, many times the customer and service level when combined creates a multi-level SLA. So it is both, PNG's deliverable to Walmart is not only from the product perspective as a customer, but also as a service. Walmart expects PNG to deliver within so many times in a refrigerated or non-refrigerated or whatever, you know, it's stored in such conditions, etc. So the service is also included. So it's a multi-level service agreement ho jata hai. And then comes the corporate level SLA, where it is entered between two corporates who are in the domain to service the customer. So it's a corporate level agreement. So say between DHL and say SKF Bearings. Now SKF Group has entered into a say corporate level SLA with DHL, where entire courier business of SKF companies around the world will be looked after by them. But then there are deliverables and all that has been defined. So that's a corporate level. Customer level SLA. Customer based is one thing and customer level is another thing. Here it is specifically oriented towards specific customer. You are customer and overall your customers are going to behave in a specific manner. So to meet that homogeneous group's requirement, you create a customer service level based SLA and service level SLA. Service level is to derive an edge over competition. So you try to create a expected level of service and you try to create an expected outcome of the service and how that can be improved and bettered. So that's a service level based SLA that you have created. So there are primarily six types of service level agreement that comes into picture, and depending on the relationship, strategic alliances that you are entering into, your scope of service level agreement will accordingly be depending on the nature of your alliances or strategic alliances that you are into, and one of this will get adopted to develop your service level agreement. So friends, in this particular chapter 2, we have understood essence of relationship, essence of relationship in the service operation, how critical it is. We have understood the way to improve relationships, what are the critical aspects of relationship. All this culminates into what is known as the strategic alliances. We have understood the importance and way strategic alliances can be built upon. And finally, all this culminates into an agreement between the two party, which is known as service level agreement. We have understood what is service level agreement and there are types of service level agreement in this particular chapter. With this, this chapter gets over. Thank you.